12. Now, I'm going to move through some scriptures here pretty quick. And so I would recommend that you take notes. And that way you will be able to keep up. But I'm not necessarily going to wait for everybody to turn to these passages that I deal with today. So take notes and you'll be right with us, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. Paul the Apostle wrote this to the church at Corinth. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. Now, here Paul the Apostle is sharing about his ministry and the challenges that he faced. He received an abundance of revelation about Christ and his redemptive work, about the church. And this revelation is shared in all of the letters that he wrote to the churches. It's referred to as the Pauline revelation. Now, you find this revelation in the book of Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, the book of Titus, and in the book of Philemon. So, Paul, I truly believe, also authored the book of Hebrews. I can't prove that, but I see so much of the Pauline revelation in that letter. So we can certainly see that this man was quite prolific in his writings and authored almost more than half of the New Testament. So Paul had a great understanding about Christ and his redemptive work. Paul also had a powerful ministry of healing the sick. Now, this is some background information that we need to know if we're going to understand this thorn in the flesh. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12 says this, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Now, here in Ephesus, the Bible says that Paul had special miracles. The word miracles in the Greek is dunamis. And what literally happened is he would pray and lay his hands on cloths or aprons or handkerchiefs. And these cloths or handkerchiefs were then taken to people who either were sick or demon-possessed. And when it was placed on the body of the sick, they were healed. If they were demon-possessed, the evil spirits left. And this had such a tremendous impact on the region that everybody knew about what happened with Paul. Now, the word for miracles, again, is dunamis. And it's the word translated miracle-working power. It's the same word we find in Acts 10:38, where it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Dunamis, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So here we can see Paul laying his hands by the Holy Spirit on these cloths. They were sent to the sick and the infirmed. The end result was healing for the sick and deliverance for those that were bound by evil spirits. Now here's another look at Paul and his ministry in Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, beginning with verse 7, says this, "In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in, prayed, and laid hands on him, and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed." So here we can see that Paul ministered to the sick by the laying on of hands. He knew that that same healing power, the word dunamis, would flow out of him into those that were sick, and the end result was healing. Now remember, The basis for healing is the redemptive work of Christ, what Jesus did on the cross. He bore our sickness and carried our pains. You find that in Isaiah 53, 3, 4, and 5, and in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Paul knew that healing was an integral part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here's another verse that we have to understand if we're going to understand this concept. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, beginning with verse 6, says this. They were aware of it, or a plot, that is, to kill Paul, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and under the region that lies round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Get up on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, I've taught on this passage of Scripture many times when I deal with the subject of healing. Many people think, wow, Paul was anointed. Well, yeah, he was, but that's not why this man was healed. Paul did three things. He preached the gospel. He perceived that this man had faith to be healed. And he said with a loud voice, "Get up on your feet." The man did three things. He heard Paul speak. He had faith to be healed. And then he leaped and walked. Now the obvious question has to be, where did this man get faith to be healed? By hearing Paul speak. So the gospel that Paul preached included healing for the physical body. It had to, because it's part of the redemptive work of Christ. That's where the man got faith for healing. The gospel, or good news, concerning Jesus and His redemptive work is that He was made sin with our sin, and that He bore our sickness and carried our pain. We can access the benefits of Christ's redemptive work through our faith. That's what happened in Acts chapter 14. Paul realized this. Now, here's something Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You all hanging with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We've got to know this if we're going to understand what was Paul's thorn. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, Paul wrote this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Notice what he said. "I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, but in the power of God." Or the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So here we can see that Paul, writing about his first ministry to the church at Corinth, he let them know that he didn't try to impress them with his smarts. He didn't try to impress them with some great theological, oratorical discourse. He didn't try to show them or impress upon them about how knowledgeable he was. Paul was a very educated man. But he said, "I came to you with Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And he said, "My preaching and my teaching was not with man's wisdom, but in demonstration." The word demonstration is a Greek word, apodexis. The word apodexis literally means manifestation. But he said, "My preaching and my teaching was with manifestation of the Spirit and of power, that your faith shouldn't be in the wisdom of God or the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And so Paul's message was accompanied by manifestations of the Holy Ghost. the word apodexis. And in the power of God, dunamis, that same word we find in Acts 19 when Paul laid his hands on handkerchiefs or aprons. Now, let's go back and look at Paul's thorn. And I love this. The Bible is so great because it's easy to understand. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is where we began, beginning with verse 7. Paul said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.'" Now, notice in this passage, in verse 7, Paul tells us exactly what the thorn was. Paul tells us what it was. The messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. Many people assume that Paul had some disease, or one theologian said he was afflicted with ophthalmology, which was a disease of the eyes, where your eyes just constantly filled with pus and ran all the time. You know, there's nothing in the scripture that indicates anything of the sort. Well, where they get that from is because Paul wrote to the church at Galatia and said, "See how large a letter I've written with my own hand." He wasn't talking about the size of the letters. Talk about the length of the letter. You know, but people always look for excuses to try to explain things because they don't understand it. Now, Paul told us exactly what the thorn was in verse 7. Now, the word thorn here is the Greek word skolpos, and it means a point or a prick, and it refers to an annoyance of sorts. Now, you find similar phrases in several Old Testament passages. The first one's found in Numbers chapter 33, where the Lord said to Israel, "But if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it'll come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell." Now, the inhabitants did not become literal pricks in their eyes or thorns in their side. God was letting them know that it's going to be a constant source of trouble with you. Are you with me? There's another example in Joshua chapter 23, verse 13. God said this, "Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord thy God has given you." Now, this is a warning to Israel from Joshua, as he's an old man, and tells them that if they cling to these abominable customs of the people that used to inhabit the land, they will have problems, and it'll be a constant source of irritation and trouble to them. Can you see it? Now, Paul says, there was given him a thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn? He tells us exactly what it was. The messenger of Satan. The word messenger is the word angelos. And you find that word 188 times in the New Testament. 181 times, the word angelos is translated angel. The other seven times, it's translated messenger. The word angelos always refers to a personality, not a thing or a condition. So Paul said, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a constant source of irritation, a messenger, angelos, of Satan. He also told us exactly where it came from. The messenger of Satan. This thing didn't come from heaven. This thing came from hell. The messenger of Satan sent, for what reason? to buffet me. The word buffet is the Greek word kalaphizo, and it means to rap with the fist. It means to deal blow after blow after blow. So Paul tells us that because of the abundance of the revelations, the influence that he had on the world in preaching the gospel of Christ, Satan assigned a messenger just to him to deal blow after blow. For what purpose? To stop him. Because his message was so filled with power and was changing the world. And so Satan sent an evil messenger to deal blow after blow to Paul's ministry, and I might add, without success. It didn't work. Now, when you examine the life of the Apostle Paul and his ministry, you'll find that this guy experienced more trouble than any other 10 men you could write about. He had more stuff to deal with than anybody I've ever read after. Now, notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about the challenges that he faced in ministry. Beginning with verse 23, he says this, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. In a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside all those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows that I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands." Paul had an incredible list of trouble that he faced in his ministry. I heard a guy say years ago, wherever Paul preached, he either had revival or a riot. It was literally true. This guy faced more trouble than anybody you will ever read after. Now, in verse 24, he said he was beaten with stripes 5 times. Now, that doesn't mean that he was whipped with a belt. When you were beaten with stripes, with 39 stripes, it's referring to the same scourging that Jesus went through. And their method of torture was a whip with leather strands. And on the ends of those strands were tied in pieces of bone or metal. And when you were hit with the whip with these things, it would rip off chunks of flesh. And it would expose many times the ribs, the bones, the spinal cord, internal organs. Most men who were beaten with 39 stripes died from blood loss or infection. This happened to Paul 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods. It does not mean that he was caned. It was an ancient method of torture where the victim was hung upside down and was exposed upside down with his feet sticking up. And they took a metal rod and beat the bottom of his feet until his feet were left to be nothing but mush. It would break bones. It would tear apart ligaments and tendons. Most people who were beaten with rods never walked again. Paul suffered this torture 3 different times. Here's the great thing about it. every time he was tortured, this man would tend to his wounds, get up, brush himself off, and get right back at it. Most men would have died from the experiences that Paul went through. And he proceeded to go from place to place sharing the gospel. And most of the time, to get from point A to point B, he walked. So you can't tell me that this was a little puny sick man with eye disease. Every time this man was tortured, he got up and went right back at it. So he had to experience the healing power of God in his flesh, or he never would have survived. Does this paint a little bit different picture of the Apostle Paul? Most men that were beaten with rods never walked again. Paul endured this kind of torture three different times. And in spite of these horrendous tortures, Paul would get up, tend to his wounds, go to the next place to fulfill God's purpose by preaching the message that he had received of the Lord. Paul was not just an example of perseverance and persistence, but he had to experience the healing power of God in his own body on many occasions, or he never would have survived. Tortures like this would have killed most men. Now, in Galatians 6:17, Paul wrote this, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Now, here in Galatians, Paul makes a statement concerning what he's been through. The word marks is the Greek word stigma, and it literally means a mark that is incised or cut in or a scar. Paul's body was severely scarred by the torture that he'd experienced. Not only being beaten five times with a scourging, but also beaten with rods three times. It was just part of the suffering and persecution that he endured in carrying out the assignment that God had given him. Now, he said that he was stoned three times, he was shipwrecked, perils and dangers or dangers he experienced from the water, robbers, the heathen, false brethren, dangers in the sea, dangers in the wilderness, you know, nakedness, cold. Not once in his rehearsal of his sufferings, not once does he mention sickness or disease. Not once. Talks about everything else. Didn't say one thing about his eyes. Didn't say one thing about disease. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 12. And I want to focus on verses 9 and 10. "And he said to me," this is Paul after he besought the Lord three times to get this thing away from him. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Now notice what Paul said. "Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong." Now here, Paul exhibits the heart of a true champion. Satan had assigned this messenger, this evil spirit, to deal blow after blow after blow. Paul is realizing that he's having trouble at every turn. And he prays three times, "Lord, get this thing away from me." But the Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient." The word sufficient means more than enough. "My grace is more than enough for you." Paul finally got it. His attitude changed. I mean, every time Satan would hit him with something, the power of God would show up and Paul would overcome. And Satan attempted to stop Paul and shut him up, make him quit or take him out. But God's grace and power were there to give the Apostle Paul ultimate victory. Well, guess what? He'll do the same for you. And you won't face anything like what this man faced. Are you with me? Notice what Paul said in verse 10. "Therefore I take pleasure," and this is my paraphrase, "in trouble." Now, the word take pleasure is a Greek word, yokedeo, and it means to think well of or to be pleased with something. Paul's attitude changed, and he said, you know what? Trouble, infirmity, persecution, devil, bring it on. I like it. Because when I am beyond my own strength, the power of God shows up to put me over. That's his attitude. Devil, is that all you got? Bring it on. Glory to God. Paul had the kind of faith that gave Satan nightmares. I mean, he has this guy tortured, beaten, shipwrecked, stoned to death. One time in Acts chapter 14, Paul is literally drug outside the city and stoned to death. The brethren stood around and prayed, and Paul rose up, got up. Well, they fled and got out of town, but you know what? The next day, Paul went back there where he was stoned to death. He went back. For what purpose? To encourage the brethren. I mean, I'm telling you, what a testimony he had. And these guys stood around there and watched him die. And they watched God raise him up. You think he'd have been on the run, never going back to that place again? No, he went back the next day to encourage the brethren. What was Paul's thorn? He told us. The messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. Listen, here's a fact of life. You may not want to hear it, but it's true nonetheless. We are living in hostile territory. We're living in hostile territory. You need to wake up. I've told people this for many, many years. Hey, Satan doesn't play fair. And he don't play games. Given the opportunity, he will take you out. But it's up to you to stand up to him, to resist him strong in faith, and not accept the status quo. You should have the same attitude that Paul had. When trouble comes your way, you ought to get happy. Say, glory to God. Is that all you got? Is that all you got? Because God's power will show up to put you over. I know whereof I speak. I'm telling you, I've had some of the most horrible circumstances show up in my life. Not self-inflicted wounds, but stuff happened, and I start rejoicing on the inside because I know God's there to put me over. Well, how's it going to work out? I don't know, but I know I'm going to come out the other side better than I am now. Amen? I know His character. I know Him too well. I know that God doesn't torture people. Are you with me? That's what Satan does. Well, thank God we can give people hope and give them the truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you pray with me, please? Glory to God. Father, thank you so much for insight, for revelation, for helping us to understand what happened in this case. But more importantly, Father, I pray that you would make us an instrument of righteousness, that you would help us to reach out and help others.